I get a second opportunity to say good morning and happy Sabbath to all of you. Very happy to see the guests we have here today. Very appreciative when we have people come that we haven't seen for a while, or maybe people we meet for the first time. On July 2nd, 1776, the Second Continental Congress, meeting in Philadelphia, voted to approve a resolution for independence from Britain. On this day, the Continental Congress declared the United Colonies free and independent states. The Declaration of Independence was adopted on July 4th. The first draft, actually, was written by Thomas Jefferson on July 2nd, and it was given to John Adams and to Benjamin Franklin for editing. They then returned it to him on the 4th, and it was approved. Interestingly enough, 50 years later, on July 4th, 1826, both Thomas Jefferson and John Adams died. It would be nearly 100 years later, in 1870, on July 4th, that July 4th was declared a national holiday. Independence Day, as it is called, is about freedom. Freedom from oppression, freedom to worship God in the proper way, and freedom from all kinds of slavery. Recently, the leader of the British movement to leave the European unity, called Brexit, declared that day Independence Day. Can we say today that we truly have freedom? Let's take a look at what God the Father and Jesus Christ have to say about true freedom. The title of my sermonette today is Our Ultimate Independence Day. Let's begin by turning to Luke 4 and take a look at verses 18 and 19. Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. Now, the context of this scripture is written shortly after Christ had resisted the temptations of Satan. He goes to Nazareth, where he was raised, and he goes to the temple, and he takes the book, and he reads from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And this is what it says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recover of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, another way of interpreting the first part of that, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, is also rendered, I speak by divine appointment, or I am divinely inspired to speak. The scripture that Christ chose to read identifies him as the Messiah, as the Anointed One, and of Christ. He was to preach the good news and joyful message. The poor referenced here are those who are destitute of the comforts of life. These are the ones that the world often rejects. But the Messiah offers hope to them. And this is one of the proofs of who Christ was. He was sent to heal the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted include those whom life has caused great suffering due to sin and affliction and trials. Liberty of the captives refers to those whose minds have been held captive under sin and the consequences of sin. It is through the Messiah, Christ, that sinners may be loosened from the bonds of guilt, and by his Spirit and grace from the bonds of corruption. Deliverance to the captives imparts a significant meaning to us by relating it to what it's like being a slave who's being restored to freedom. It also reminds us how it releases our minds from the captivity of sin. Healing the sight of the blind would be a sign of the Messiah and was fulfilled through Christ's ministry on earth during his life here. A future fulfillment of this will be when the consequences of sin and human suffering will be eradicated once and for all. To set at liberty those who are oppressed or bruised refers to those who have been pressed down by the effects of mental anguish resulting from sin and a sin-filled world that all of us are subject to at this time. But Christ will ultimately free us from this as well. In Psalms 118, verse 5, we are reminded how to cope with this anguish. In my anguish, I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me by setting me free. Prayers which come out of distress generally come out of the heart, and will therefore go to the heart of God, and he will comfort us. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord is an allusion to the year of Jubilee. But this is only a type of the true Jubilee, which will be God's kingdom. Here are a few other scriptures which point us to freedom's road. Psalms 119, verse 32. I run the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. And this is the NIV translation. In the New King James, it renders it, to enlarge my heart. And in the Barnes Commentary, it has this to say about this phrase, enlarge my heart. It means to make it free, to deliver it from all hindrances to which will lead to rightness, to fill it with noble and holy purposes, to stimulate it and animate it. The heart is contracted or made smaller or narrow by selfishness, pride, ambition, covetousness. It is made large by charity, love, hope, and benevolence. End of quote. By running to keep God's commandments, we are doing so with great urgency and enthusiasm. This results in a heart that is more attuned to God's heart. In response to the Pharisees, to whom God was addressing, we take a look at this scripture. It's found in John 8, verses 34 to 38. Jesus answered them in this way. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave to sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if a son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus was identifying himself as the one through whom true freedom could be attained. He is the only one who can deliver anyone from the bondage and domination of sin. On the Liberty Bell is inscribed Leviticus 25, verse 10, which states the following. Proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. This is making reference to the Jubilee year, when everyone's possessions were returned to them every 50 years, and they were released from slavery if they were in slavery. And then in verse 12 of Leviticus, it states that this day shall be holy to you. But a greater day of liberty is coming. A holier time is on the way, when all the oppressed, the brokenhearted, the blind, and confused will be liberated. The slavery imposed on us by the evil slave master Satan and the sin that has enslaved us will no longer exist. Let's read about this time that takes place in the not too distant future. We see the beginnings of liberation coming when Christ returns with the armies of angels from heaven, which is recorded in Revelations 19, verses 12 to 16. It will continue as recorded in Revelation 20, verses 2 and 5, when Satan is bound for 1,000 years, and the earth and its people will experience unprecedented peace and prosperity. Satan will be released for a short period of time and then cast into outer darkness forever, along with the other fallen angels. And this is recorded in Jude 13, where it says, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Those spirit beings who contributed to so much of the pain and suffering of mankind, and to the whole earth for that matter, will be removed. Those who refuse to follow the law of God will also cease to exist. Independence Day will finally have arrived as recorded in Revelation 21, verse 1 through 7. Let's read about this joyous day of liberation and independence. Revelation 21, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 7. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." In 1776, the men who bravely determined to free themselves of tyranny, oppression, and injustice designed the Declaration of Independence to guide a nation based on liberty and freedom for all. Our great God has given us a Declaration of Independence that, if we will follow it, will give us true freedom forever. Most of you are holding it in your lap today, the Bible. As you reflect on this holiday of Independence Day, remember the ultimate Independence Day that awaits all of mankind. In closing, I'd like to read an Independence Day prayer I came across recently. "Dear Lord, there is no greater feeling of liberation than to experience this freedom of sin, from sin and death, that you have provided for us through Jesus Christ. Today, our hearts and our souls are free to praise you. For this, we are very thankful. On this Independence Day, we are reminded of all those who have sacrificed for our freedom, following the example of your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us not take our freedom, both physical and spiritual, for granted. May we always remember that a very high price was paid for our freedom."